You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to The Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and as the name suggests, this is The Troy Murphy Show, a talk show here on Sutherland Shire Radio, where we like to have fun with the crazy and zany stories from around the world and educate with the serious breaking news that are of importance. You know, it really is a mixed bag show with something for everyone. In this fast-paced world, it's hard to keep on top of the 24-hour news cycle, which is why we bring it here, all together in one place, so you can be informed and have fun in a one-hour show. Yes, that's what we offer here on TTMS. Big thank you to Jamie Sims for the first hour of Drive. Brilliant music as always, Jamie, bopping along. Love the last song that you just played. That's a bit of a classic, and quite enjoy it. Good news, everybody. We love the good news. We finally got the Troy Murphy Show website up and running, where you can listen back to all the best bits, along with the interviews that we've done and the entire show podcast, not only on the website, but now on Apple Podcast and Spotify Podcast too. www.thetroymurphyshow.com. Why two podcasting services? Well, turns out I did the iTunes podcast because a good friend of mine who lives in Paris was like, "Want to listen to the show, Troy? Can I podcast? Put in iTunes." He goes, "Oh, I don't have that. I've got Spotify." So it's on two. Luckily, it's no extra work. Now, before we get into the big breaking news stories of the week, let's celebrate today. Today, the 24th day of the month of November, as it is National Sardines Day. Yes, you heard that correctly. It is National Sardines Day, a day to celebrate the delicious for some and gross for others little fish that, well, is an amazing source of B12 and omega fatty acids, perfect on toast or as a tasty snack on its own, or just given to the cat for dinner. Happy National Sardines Day, everyone. I know what I'm having for dinner tonight. Sardines it is. It's also Celebrate Your Unique Talent Day. What is your unique talent? Let us know on the Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show. Click like, and I'll post shortly that question up on the page, where you can let us know what your unique talent. Which brings us to tonight's top five list, the top five weirdest talents everyone wished, and I know I'm clutching at straws here, top five weirdest talents that everyone wished they had. Let's count them down.
Five.
Talking backwards. How good would it be to be able to talk backwards? You know. So, for instance, I'm just looking at my script here. Visit our website, thetroymurphyshow.com. Show Murphy Troy the website. Our visit. But without having to read it and pause. I don't know. It's a weird habit. Could be useful. Great party trick. Let's keep the countdown going.
Four.
Turning your head around 360 degrees. You know, exorcist style, but without the gross green projectile vomiting. How good would that be? You know, never would you have to really strain your neck or turn your body, because you could just do it. You could just turn it around 365 degrees. That is number four on the top five list of the top five weirdest talent everyone wished they had. And I am being very loose with that claim that everyone wishes that they had these talents.
3.
Number 3, ventriloquism. How good would it be to trick people with voices that come out of nowhere and be able to throw your voice? So, you know, you could just be standing there, arms crossed, doing nothing at all. And then all of a sudden this voice pops out of, I don't know, well, your mouth, but no one knows. That would be a very cool, cool, weird talent to have.
2.
Number 2. Oh, being able to fold a fitted sheet. That is a talent that I think we all would love to have. How many times have you struggled with a fitted sheet, not being able to fold it properly, and then just scrunching it in a ball and throwing it into the back of the, the linen closet, only to have to pull it out when you need a clean one, and it'll be all wrinkled, and then you go, oh, I haven't made my bed properly. You know, folding a fitted sheet would be ideal, and I know there are ways to do it, but, you know, me being me and lazy, I haven't learnt. Which brings us to... The number one weirdest talent everyone wished they had in our top 5 weirdest talents everyone wished they had list is being able to nap at any time of the day for an exact amount of time, only, no matter what, to be able to wake up refreshed. That, my friends, would be a talent I wish I had, because then I could have, you know, a quick little snooze before the show, a little bit of a recharge, and get ready and be on top of the world instead of needing, you know, a couple of cups of coffee to get me through the afternoon. On the show this week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk the hot dog turf wars that everyone wants to know about. Was COP27 a cop-out or a success? We'll take a look at what took place at the global leaders' discussion and what their decisions mean for us average Australians. We'll do a look at local news, and later on in the show, we'll discuss a new survey that has found that, well, we're not really into the Christmas mood this year. Along with the weird, wacky, wonderful news from around the world, including a Macca's worker who's going viral on TikTok after quitting his job, and one country's problem with the drug Coke. But you won't believe what the problem is. You'll have to stick around to find out what it is, because it's a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. Doozy with a capital D. But first, let's take a look at the breaking news stories of the week. Now, I normally don't like to start the show off, you know, on a negative, on a bit of a downer, but sad news this week. Although, before I get into it, we do need to remember that it is also a celebration. It might be sad news, but we should remember it is a celebration as we mark the 25th anniversary of the passing of one of Australia's greatest musicians, Michael Hutchinson of INXS. Now, you're probably wondering how remembering his death is cause for celebration. Here on the Troy Murphy Show, I don't like to mourn death, and, you know, and even though they may not be around any longer and we may wonder what life would have been like had they lived longer, I prefer to remember the contribution that people did during their life and celebrate that. So here we celebrate some of the greatest music that has thus far stood the test of time from Michael Hutchins and INXS. We could live and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw, I've got to let you know.
Dream on, white boy. Dream on, black girl. Then wake up to a brand new day. I've got to hold on. New sensation.
Such great music. But moving on with other news, God bless America and its influence on the world as Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales fast approach, with some retailers having begun their sales early, with customers able to score some big bargains. Now, whilst most of the top deals are expected to appear tomorrow, Friday the 25th of November, which is tomorrow, don't forget that, some online retailers have already dropped their price. Strangely enough, we haven't heard the usual Black Friday is racist comments from the usual suspects, as loud as we've heard in previous years. Maybe they got the memo that it's not everything is racist just because the word black is in it. And maybe they just got, you know, the memo that the term Black Friday derives from the concept that businesses in the United States operate at a financial loss and are in the red until the day after Thanksgiving, when massive sales finally allow them to turn a profit or put them in the black, hence Black Friday. But let's have some fun. Head to the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page and let us know, will you take advantage of Black Friday sales, and what will you buy? In other news that broke this week, mobile phones will be banned in schools across New South Wales if Labor wins the next year's state election. Parents are urging the Education Minister to put a blanket ban amid claims that their children are distracted by devices. Speaking on the radio this week, New South Wales Shadow Education Minister Prue Carr said the following.
All the evidence is really super clear that we really can't be letting kids into classrooms with their mobile phones for distraction purposes because of bullying and everything else. Like, parents know what the challenges are with technology. So why can't the government just ban them in high schools from coming into classrooms? I mean, we think that's sort of the sensible thing to do. They say a lot of schools already do it. Well, just tell them that the ones that are left letting them in, that they can't do it anymore.
Look, I'm not a parent and nor am I a teacher, so I'm not experienced enough to comment with conviction, but whilst I am a huge advocate for doing everything to minimise bullying, especially with the youth, the reliance on government to legislate what we can and can't do is a slippery slope of setting precedent. Precedent for government to believe that they should be setting rules for all aspects of our lives. We elect governments to look after the joint, not to dictate to us how we live our lives. So I'm all for education rather than restriction. Teach consequence of action, not set rules. Because let's face it, kids will always rebel against rules. Always. But, you know, if warned, if they, you know, if they do bad, then it's on them to live with the guilt and the repercussions of their actions. That's the way to go. I don't think we should have laws telling kids that they can't take mobile phones to school. Now, on to entertainment news this week. Oh, this was huge. And did it cause outrage? Because the much-loved residents of Ramsey Street are returning home to Network 10 in 2023 after Fremantle, the producers of, and I quote, Australia's favourite drama, but don't let Channel 7 hear you say that, because I got a press release from them today saying that Home and Away is the number one drama. But then again, they probably can only claim that now that Neighbours is off the air, but Neighbours is coming back because it's been secured by Amazon as their international partner. Now, why, I hear you ask, has Amazon become Neighbours international partner after the big hoo-ha and farewell? You know, we even got Kylie back. Oh, such an epic thing. I didn't watch it though, even though they got Kylie back. But anyway, why, I hear you ask? Well, good question. Turns out the federal government is planning on introducing reforms in the area of streaming services, requiring them to have a quota on local Australian content. Kind of like what we do here on radio. We have a 30% Australian content rule that we have to be playing 30% Aussie content. Now, streaming services potentially will have to do that. So clearly Amazon got the memo and snagged Neighbours up as their Aussie content early. If you are a fan of Neighbours and are excited by this, production is set to commence in early 2023 with a world premiere slated for the second half of the year. That is very, very exciting. It's been a weird week in the news this week, but also a very, very interesting one. Now, stick around, because after this break, the answer to this big question: how many people make up a quintet? Know the answer? We'll reveal it right after this.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
From Illawong to Cronulla, the Shire's 2SSR FM.
And now for Sutherland Shire Road and Rail.
Quick look at traffic. We have a minor accident on Box Road. Police are there in attendance, and the police are loitering again down in Loftus on the Princess Highway. That seems to happen every week. Heavy traffic on the Kingsway in Miranda and the Boulevard as well. And some heavy traffic as well heading to Parowina Road on Renown Avenue. Don't even know what that is, but do keep an eye out for traffic there. If you do see any problems with traffic, make sure you phone it through on 9545 1800.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
And the answer to the question, how many people make up a quintet? Well, the answer is 5. A quick look at the weather tomorrow. Tops of 22 degrees, possible shower over the weekend. Saturday, 20 degrees, mostly sunny. Sunday, tops of 26 degrees and mostly sunny. Monday of next week, possible shower, 20 degrees.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Now, when you think of turf wars, either one of two things pop into mind. A war where the weapons you fight with are clumps of turf and blades of grass, or gangs and cartels fighting over hotspot areas of real estate to establish distribution rights of illegal dealings and such. Personally, I like the former, as it's comedy gold and it has it written all over it, which I'm actually surprised it hasn't been done in some sort of skit. But I am sure the very last thing you would think of when someone were to mention turf wars would be street hot dog vendors. Yes, you heard correctly, ladies and gentlemen. Street hot dog vendors in Los Angeles have made it to the weird, wacky, wonderful news this week after one hot dog vendor stabbed another hot dog vendor after an alleged turf war between these vendors who had set up outside a park late on Saturday night during the week. Witnesses on hand said that the whole situation was the worst. Get it? The worst. I'm pretty sure only our German and Austrian listeners are giggling at that pun. If it did go over your head, worst is not only, you know, a bad thing. You know, for example, Becky is the worst, but worst is also a type of sausage, which plays well into the story because, you know, worst the sausage and hot dog vendors. You get the connection? Anyway. Here's what US media had to say when reporting the incident.
An apparent turf dispute between food vendors from San Diego and L.A. turned into a brawl last night outside Petco Park.
The melee broke out around 10:30 while DJ Duke Dumont was performing on the Gallagher Square stage. Now, San Diego police officers who were working the event jumped in. They used pepper spray to try to break up the fight. They discovered that a 31-year-old man had been stabbed in the back. He is expected to be okay. A 21-year-old man was then arrested in connection with that stabbing. Meantime, many of those who had been pepper sprayed, they were treated by first responders.
I just love how the U.S. news reports these stories so deadpan. Look, I know it's serious. Someone got stabbed in the back, like the Julius Caesar of the hot dog turf wars, and pepper spray was involved, which, you know, I hope that was all caused by a lazy cop who was just there at the wrong place at the right time, using his pepper spray to spice up his hot dog at the time that the fight broke out. And, well, he just kept spraying to all those around him in a panic because, you know, he didn't want to drop his meal. Again, Hollywood comedy skit written all over it. I should be writing movies, I should. Or at least comedy shows. No, not really. Not after my worst joke, because it was the worst. But in good news, apart from the one man being stabbed, a few innocent bystanders being pepper sprayed, no other serious injuries were reported. And the guy survived as well. But you can just imagine the newspaper headlines. Things heat up at hot dog stand. There are no wieners in hot dog turf war. You know, play on wieners. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why I don't write news headlines.
The Troy Murphy Show presents 30 Seconds of Calm. To the Troy Murphy Show.
Quick update to traffic. There are roadworks on the boulevard and hazard on the road at President Avenue in Sutherland.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Big news this week was that developed nations, including Australia, have all signed up with blank checks for a reparations fund. I mean, no, sorry, that's not what it's called, because that triggers people. No, it's now a loss and damages fund to be paid out to poorer countries, mostly affected by or responsible for climate change. This is all because of the COP27 meeting that took place this week. You know, it's this has been something that's been pushed on developed nations for 3 decades now. And finally at COP27 meeting in Egypt, it was agreed to. Now, fun fact, this was first suggested by Vanuatu in 1991. Well, what is it in a nutshell? Under the proposal, developing nations could expect about US $2 trillion per year from countries like the UK and the US and Australia, as well as international financial institutions, as a form of climate change reparations, where developing nations would be granted the money when they suffer climate disasters like fires, floods, droughts, or famines. In theory, not a bad idea, and I like it. In theory. But why do I, as many other people who are following the bouncy ball of what's going on here, well, see the problem with it? The problem is that the world leaders, including Australia's currently elect government, have all blindly signed into this thing, this agreement, without knowing all the details. It's not clear which countries will pay, how they will pay, how much they will pay, and it's also not clear which countries will receive the money and when. There is debate around countries such as China and Saudi Arabia, the world's largest greenhouse gas polluter in China and the world's largest exporter of oil, Saudi Arabia, which are classified as developing nations, even though China has hosted two Olympic Games and has a space station. You know, little thing up in space that most countries, especially developing nations, don't have. Now, for the record, and for those just tuning in, I'm not a climate skeptic or denier, or I 100% believe climate change is a thing. Should we do something about it? 100% agree. Do I believe it's being catastrophized to weaponize and initiate a global transfer of money for other people to get rich off? Also, yes. It's a confusing place living inside my head. Should we be careful about how we transition and not rush into it the way we have been? Again, yes. But back to COP27 and this new loss and damage fund. Here is where we stand as Australians on this. The Albanese government supports the loss and damage fund. Good move. Australia's climate change minister, Chris Bowen, was around the negotiating table, and Australia has agreed to the fund. Also, potentially a good move. This is where it gets bad. We don't know how much Australia will pay to the fund annually, but experts are predicting that'll be in the billions of dollars each year, potentially $54 billion each year to be exact, based on the previous contribution Australia was asked to make of 2.7% to a $100 billion climate fund. 2.7 of 2 trillion is $54 billion. And we will also be potentially contributing to this because the Labor government is hoping to host COP31 in 2026. Now, here's where it's kind of a kick in the teeth for Australian people. It was only a few months ago after the federal election that we were being told by the federal treasurer, Jim Chalmers, when he handed down the budget, that it would be a bread and butter budget and not a flashy affair because there's no extra money to spend. We're over $1 trillion in debt, and Labor said that when they came to power, we had nothing to show but huge debt. Here's what Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers had to say.
And I think we've been pretty upfront about that in saying, well, that's how we've demonstrated that budgets can be about restraint and trimming spending and sensible tax reform. And whether there's two more budgets in the life of this parliament or three more budgets in the life of this parliament, I think people should expect the same kind of combination in the budgets that we're yet to hand down as we saw in the budget yesterday.
Yet somehow, with all that spending restraint, we're able to sign a blank check to the UN when they ask. Let's not forget this loss and damages fund that was signed, well, that we've signed a blank check to, goes to support those in developing nations who suffer climate disasters like fire, floods, droughts and famines, which again I support in theory. But what about the Australians who are suffering from floods here? We've only just had a massive flood in Australia wiping through Eugowra, where hundreds were evacuated last week after flash flooding swept through. Now, insurance companies, they've reported to be abandoning these residents for an array of reasons to get out of paying out claims. And when asked where he was during the floods, former Prime Minister Scott Morrison was at the time of natural disasters when he was Prime Minister. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese had this to say.
Not to get off on a bad foot or a wrong foot or anything like that, but all through the election, one of your slogans was, wasn't here to hold a hose. Where have you been, sir? It was said during the election multiple times. Like, where have you been last week?
I've been
overseas, I heard.
Yeah, I was representing Australia.
So, yeah.
Don't you just hate it when something you say comes back to bite you in the butt? Although, in Albo's defence, he was overseas for work, and the issue with former PM ScoMo was that he was on holiday. But yeah, this is another example of Albo having to backtrack on something that he said. And you can hear it in his voice in the clip. Until the man answers the question for him by saying, I heard you were overseas, did he have an answer? But to the issue with all of this, In the spirit of signing up to and giving out blank checks for reparations of climate change, of which, in his own words, climate change is to blame for the floods, which he said in a media coverage back in July.
What we know is that Australia has always been subject of floods, of bushfires, but we know that the science told us that if we continued to not take action globally on climate change, then these events, extreme weather events, would be more often and more intense. And what we're seeing, unfortunately, is that play out.
I hope Australians get a blank check too, just to be fair. And from what I understand, there will be funds made available to local residents affected by floods. But let's just watch this space and see how blank or restrictive the check is that we give our own people. There's just going to be a lot of blank checks being written going forward. But back to COP27. If you look at CO2 emissions from the UK since 1750, we're talking the great industrial revolution here that has attributed to the beginning of the effects of climate change on the planet as the big polluting era. And as industrial cities began pumping out vast quantities of pollution into the atmosphere, well, here's an interesting fact. China has emitted as much CO2 since 2013 to today as UK has done since 1750 to today. And 63% of all current carbon emissions come from developing nations. This might be why the European Union and the US have demanded that China, remember they are classified as a developing nation, who could benefit from the $2 trillion annual fund. Well, they're asking that China, demand that China really, contribute to the fund rather than benefit from it. But China have said that they are not ready to agree to it. And of course they wouldn't, they're not idiots. They are the biggest polluter in the world, and they will continue to do for years and years to come whilst the rest of the planet, the developing nation, all go for net zero. Another fun fact, the CO2 that Australia produces in 1 year, China pollutes in 15 days. Let that sink in next time there is a climate protest attacking Australia for our global pollution contribution. Now, being an opinion-based show, back to the loss and damage fund, I have to tell you, I am torn on this one. Yes, I agree. Something needs to be done on the global stage to help developing nations with the effects of climate change. Also, something needs to be done to bring them up to date with technology so they can combat climate change. But we need more detail about this fund. And it should also not come at the expense of helping our own, just so that the government can look good in front of others on the world stage. The Australian people deserve more detail, along with safeguards and checks and balances, to ensure that any money that we give out in a blank check is spent wisely and not rorted, lining corrupt pockets. So where we stand as it is, this decision by COP27 is a bad idea. But as always, with more information, my opinion is subject to change. Indeed it is. Stick around, because coming up after this break, another trivia question, let's have some fun. What ABBA song begins with the lyrics, "I've been cheated by you since I don't know when"?
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
And the answer is Mamma Mia. I had to look that up.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support, or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7pm Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
Real Live Local Radio, 2SSR, FM 99.7.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire local news.
Sutherland Shire Council will be hosting their annual Walk for Respectful Relationships event tomorrow, November 25, where residents, students and community groups will unite after a two-year absence. Walk for Respectful Relationships is an opportunity for people to show their support and raise awareness of domestic and family violence within their own community by getting together with family, friends and colleagues to go out for a walk. There is a community walk plan for tomorrow from Don Lucas Reserve to Dunningham Park starting at 9:45am. In other news, Heathcote MP Lee Evans has announced that only a new structure to replace the current crossing at the Audley Weir is the only safe option moving forward. The weir is notorious for flooding, and after an engineering assessment, Mr. Evans said that there are no possible improvements available to be made which won't impact the structural integrity of the current weir, which is why a new structure is needed. Short-term improvements like an electronic message sign that has been installed at the intersection of Sir Bertram Stevens Drive and Bundina Drive, which notifies vehicles of weir closures, along with the installation of hard barriers, have been helpful. However, the Sutherland Shire Council is pushing for much more, advocating for the state government to provide a long-term solution, such as raising the wall of the weir as soon as possible. Two local residents who were arrested for allegedly being involved in a lucrative $350,000 cocaine supply network in the Sutherland Shire will have to wait 2 more weeks to learn if they will be jailed. The pair were reportedly taking home on average $5,000 per week before police arrested them last July. Both men pleaded guilty to a string of charges including commercial drug supply and directing a criminal group. The pair will learn their fate on December 9. And finally, in local news, a popular Cronulla school teacher and swim coach has won bail reprieve for Christmas events. The man was originally banned from associating with children while he awaits trial for allegedly sexually grooming an underage boy. He had his bail conditions temporarily relaxed to allow him to attend a wedding and family get-together at Christmas. The man was arrested in April this year following an investigation by Sutherland detectives. His original bail conditions forbid him from accessing social media apps, contacting anyone under the age of 18, or being involved in any activities that include children. His relaxed bail conditions allow him to attend a wedding and Christmas Day celebrations with family on 2 dates in December. Both events will have people under the age of 18 in attendance. And that's what's happening in Sutherland Shire local news.
It's crazy and it's zany, it's delirious but grainy, tastes a little gamey, the Troy Murphy Show.
Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on, Thursday night, 6 from. We're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
And now for the big ending!
The Troy Murphy Show.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison, former Prime Minister of Australia, but most importantly, the federal member for Cook in our local community. And you're listening to Troy Murphy on 2SSR.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Tomorrow we can expect tops of 22 degrees and a possible shower. Quick look around the Sutherland Shire for traffic. We have a police car spotted on the Princess Highway at Kirrawee on the corner of the Kingsway, and they're still hanging around Loftus on the Princess Highway down there. If you do see any problems with traffic, make sure you phone it through on 95451800. And ponder this, ladies and gentlemen, ponder this. We're all encouraged to be different, but if we're different from what's expected, then we're shamed by society. But don't worry, weird and different has a safe space here at the Troy Murphy Show. We would be hypocritical if we didn't.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Turns out, ladies and gentlemen, it's not beginning to look a lot like Christmas for many Australians. In fact, just 51% of people say that they are not looking forward to Christmas this year. This is a new survey that was conducted by online payments giant PayPal. I kind of wondered why PayPal would do a survey like this, but then again, you know, they make money off Christmas sales because they get commissions off PayPal sales. But anyway, this means that 49% of people, only 49% of people, are excited for the silly season, if my math is correct. Anyway, the report said that over a third of Aussies say that they'll be spending less money on Christmas this year in an effort to trim the fat from their celebrations. Now, this really comes as no surprise, as, you know, cost of living pressures and expenses have become the main worry for people in Australia, along with increasing interest rates, high inflation, and the war in Ukraine. These are the top concerns of respondents to a different survey conducted by Beyond Blue last month. That's how we know things. We read these surveys. This is meant to be a fun article about people not liking Christmas, but it's turned into a news article. But back to the PayPal survey. PayPal found that some Australians have even suggested, to help save money at Christmas, that they're going to wait until the Boxing Day sales to do their gift shopping. Finally, people have been influenced by the Greek, who do Easter a week later, to get the discounted chocolates. It's not they don't do it just for the discounted chocolates a week later. It's just part of their thing, their religion, their tradition. It's a week after. But they get it at discounts. So doing Christmas a week later, not a bad idea to get all your Christmas shopping done during the Boxing Day sales. As 60% of Australians, this is also, that was found in the survey, plan to spend less than $500 on Christmas this year, and one in six hope to only spend under $200. Now, in previous years, the average person across Australia, according to the website Finder, I did a lot of research for this article, thank you Google, the average Christmas spending each year for average Australians is $1,232 per person. So that's more than half. People are looking at spending half what they normally would on Christmas this year. And then there's the tight people like myself who just go for that $200 every year. Pro tip, do what I did over 20 years ago. I said to my extended family and friends, don't buy me anything for Christmas, and I won't. And I do the same thing for birthdays too. Such a tight cheapskate, but it works. It works. Listen to my theory. I won't buy anything for you. You don't buy anything for me. And what I'll do is I'll buy myself something that I really want instead of you wasting money on something that I probably will never use. This, of course, does not apply to my parents who might be listening tonight. They have to buy me something for Christmas and birthdays because that's what parents have to do. Even as I enter midlife. Except it doesn't. And of course, there's my beautiful little nieces, 6-year-old Hallie and 4-year-old Odette, who, well, they get presents all year long from Uncle Doy, but that's because they have me wrapped around their little finger. Oh, Christmas. It's only a couple of weeks away. It's scary. Anyway.
The Troy Murphy Show presents 30 Seconds of Calm.
Stick around, because right after this break, we will be... this show is going way too fast. The hour goes too quickly, because coming up next is Lauren with her final show. I am so sad and excited. But anyway, let's keep doing some trivia, because we're having some fun with that. A common saying that describes someone who is less scary than they appear is that their bark is worse than their what? Know the answer? We will reveal it right after this.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
It's bad enough when a child is sick, but when it's one of the family, all you want to do is help. Grant Dodds, presenter of New Sensations Drive, needs our help. His son, Isaac, has a condition called citrullinemia type 1, which can result in brain damage, coma, or even be fatal due to high levels of toxic ammonia building up in the body. But help might be just one bark away. An assistance dog would be able to smell high ammonia and raise the alert. But that sort of help doesn't come without a price. To donate, go to mycause.com.au and search for Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, and help fund an assistance dog that could change his life dramatically. Thank you.
Hear what they said on the radio?
No, I missed it.
I had to drive the kids to school.
I was at work.
I was helping with the sausage sizzle.
Catch the latest news updates, listen to podcasts, join us live with the Community Radio Plus app.
Hear what they said
on the radio? Yeah, I was listening.
I was listening in the car.
Yeah, I was listening on my phone.
On the radio? I was listening when I got home.
Whatever you're doing, take us with you. Community Radio Plus, your home of community radio. Download from the App Store or Google Play.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
And now for Sutherland Shire, Road and Rail.
Checking traffic for the final time tonight. No major incidents on the roads. Still the police out and about. We've got reports coming in that they're still hanging around the Princess Highway in Loftus. Police reported on the Princess Highway at Kirrawee in the corner of the Kingsway. Heavy traffic on the Kingsway in Miranda, and roadworks on the Boulevard in Kirrawee. If you do see any problems, make sure you phone it through 9545 1800.
You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
The answer to the question, a common saying that describes someone who is less scary than they appear, is that their bark is worse than their bite. And ponder this, ladies and gentlemen, when you stop procrastinating, you're simply procrastinating. Procrastinating.
2SSR FM 99.7.
That was a bit too deep. My head hurts. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, 10 minutes to go on the show. And as we do at the end of every Troy Murphy show, we wrap up by chatting about the well, the breaking news stories from the week that you may have missed, such as this story that I read on Apple News. Well, I did read it, but I saw the headline first. And you've got to love salacious headlines. You know, someone gets paid the big bucks in the news media to write these headlines. I had an attempt earlier, and I failed miserably. This is why I don't get paid the big bucks in print media to do salacious headlines. But this salacious headline read, "Will COVID ruin Christmas?" How salacious is that? Scandalous! Makes you just want to click, but don't bother. Don't bother clicking on it, or reading it, or searching for it, because I did, and I'll give you the laydown. Experts believe that we will have a sharp spike of COVID cases in the next 6 weeks, and then we'll ease before Christmas. But there are, you know, the warnings in the articles, mask up, RAT test in the 3 days leading up to a family event, and be cautious around the elderly and more vulnerable. Which is, you know, that's common sense, I like that. But yeah, no need for a salacious headline. Will COVID ruin Christmas? Just to give you that information. I actually learned a new word today. It's, I'll talk about it shortly as part of the world word of the year shortlist. But it was COVID virgin. It was COVID virgin, and I am one. Because I've never had COVID. Although I'm hanging around all these people, and there's all these people still here at the station. I don't know. Am I going to get it from one of these people? Dubious I am. Speaking of headlines, how's this for a delicious one? I love delicious headlines. Mexican city breaks world record for largest serving of guacamole. How good is that? A town in the western Mexican state of, oh, I'll butcher this, I won't even pronounce it. Anyway, they have the Guinness World Record bragging rights after 300 men and women made and served just over 4,970 kilograms of guacamole. That's a lot of avocado. But, you know, they could have just gone the extra 30 kilos, couldn't they? Make it a round number, 5,000 kilograms. Oh, imagine the amount of toast and eggs you're going to need to serve that on. Hipsters rejoice. On your way to Mexico, everyone. It took the 300 men and women 3 hours and 30 minutes to make the giant size snack. That's not a snack. That's a feed a third world country for a month meal. Not a snack. Who wrote this article? Consisting of 10 tons of avocado mixed with onions, tomatoes, pepper, lime, and cilantro. It was all live streamed by the Guinness World Records officials who were unable to attend, but they were able to clarify that it is indeed a record. How bummed would you be as a Guinness World Record official to not be able to attend? That's something I would want to attend with a bag of Doritos. Or CCs, or anything. Now, the world record surpassed a previous record of 3,788 kilograms of guacamole that more than 350 people prepared in a nearby city in 2018. Oh, the rivalry is on, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's going to get nasty. And if that wasn't impressive enough, get this, the long-awaited Avatar sequel that is set to hit cinemas soon. But a report has come out that the movie needs to be the third or fourth highest grossing film in history just to break even. Yes, according to a report by Variety, early speculation has claimed that the production budget alone for the movie was US $250 million, which in Australian dollars is about $376 million, ballpark, if you're playing the bouncy ball there. And James Cameron, Avatar, the sequel, needs to make $2 billion just to break even. Now, I hope he does. I might just go and... I don't like going to the movies to see a movie because I don't like people and being in crowds. But just so he... I contribute because I do... I'm interested to see it. And I kind of want to see what happens. Let's talk about 3 or 4 or 5 or something. Yeah, I might go. Anyway, 6 minutes left of the show. As we come to the end of the year, we start getting the reports and lists, you know, the of the year, the most popular thing of insert year here. Just like the Macquarie Dictionary, who have revealed, they're doing this in two parts, they've revealed their word of the year short list. They don't know which word it is, but they've got a short list. In 2021, the Macquarie word of the year was stroll out, which referred to the slow rollout of Australia's vaccine program. And the year before that, the public chose Karen as word of the year, which really upset a lot of Karens. I can understand why. But the short list for 2022 is split up into different sections to help navigate the new words that were developed for all aspects of our lives. Arts, business, colloquial, COVID-19, eating and drinking, environment, fashion, health, internet, politics, social interest, sport, technology, and general miscellaneous sections too. Now, some of the front runners, in the short list include the term quiet quitting, which refers to the practice of popularized by Gen Z of limiting oneself to performing the tasks within one's job description and working only the hours of which one is contracted. I don't mind that. Quiet quitting. In the COVID-19 section, the colloquial term COVID virgin, which refers to someone who has not contracted the virus. I am a proud COVID virgin. Everyone I know seems to have had it, bar me. And under fashion, the term Faugan, spelt F-A-U-X-G-A-N, Faugan, has become quite popular to refer to a person who, whilst not being a genuine bogan, presents themselves as one by affecting the fashion or mannerisms considered characteristics of a bogan. Are people really doing that, pretending to be a bogan for the sake of being a bogan? Or, oh, that's terrible. That is terrible. Why would you do that? What a dumb thing to do. What an absolutely ridiculous dumb thing to do. Pretend to be a bogan. There was some terrible news this week. I don't know if you know the name Danny Lim. You know the name Danny Lim. If you don't know the name Danny Lim, well, you may have seen him out and about in Sydney. He is infamous for walking around holding a sandwich board sign and telling people to smile, amongst other things. You know, he's a harmless, happy, wonderful guy with a message of joy to share with the world. Only problem is that, well, this week, he ran into a bit of trouble with police and he was forced onto the ground by two New South Wales police officers in the city's Queen Victoria building shortly before 11 a.m. on Tuesday. The incident was captured on camera by a shocked bystander, where you can see Mr. Lim's head cracked against the tiled floors, leaving him with a black eye and a bloody cheek. But in true community support style, hundreds of Sydney siders, I love this, descended on the Day Street police station in Sydney demanding justice for the heavy-handed arrest. A New South Wales spokesperson came out the day later on Wednesday saying that the matter, and I quote this, the matter has been triaged and a complaint and allocated to an investigator from another command within Central Metropolitan Region. So essentially the police are going to investigate the police to see if they were too heavy-handed. What an absolute cop-out that is. Absolute cop-out. And I don't know if you saw this going viral on TikTok. There was a young guy who quit. Filmed himself quitting because he didn't want to do the dishes. Let's listen to the clip here.
I am not cleaning that. I ain't cleaning that. Ashley?
What?
I quit.
Nuh-uh.
I quit.
Get back
here. I quit. I quit.
He's running out of the store here.
I'm leaving. Maccas. See you on the flip side.
See you on the flip side. I think it was great. Well done. But it has sparked debate online with, you know, Gen Z being very, very lazy.
Join the Troy Murphy Show on Facebook. Search the Troy Murphy Show, click like, and join the conversation all week long.
30 seconds to go on the show. Up next, Lauren. The beautiful Lauren with her last show. Lauren, how sad. This is the last time we get to do a cross. Anyway, join the Troy Murphy Show online. TheTroyMurphyShow.com, our new website, where you can download the podcast, listen back at any time, and join us on all the social medias. And I'll be back next week. Until then, bye for now.